Good morning, everybody. Good to see some faces we haven't seen in a while. We have some celebrations this week. It is Clarence and Rosella Seiler's anniversary today. And Rosella is here, so happy anniversary, Rosella. Miss Janice's birthday is on the 27th, and also Wig's birthday. And then Pastor Brian's birthday is on the 29th. And then Carol Beckel, not to be confused with this Carol Beckel, Carol Beckel and Bismarck, her birthday is on the 30th. So for those of you that haven't like grown up here, there is another Carol Beckel spelled exactly the same way, and it really confused me when we first started going here because I had two Carol Beckels in my phone, and I'm like, which Carol Beckel is calling or texting me? We do have prayer and worship tonight at 7. Seems like we haven't had that in a while, but that's just a good time of prayer and worship, so come to that if you can. Precepts is this Tuesday at 9 a.m. here at the church. They had a great first turnout last Tuesday, so make it to that if you can. We have our Wednesday night Bible studies for all ages at 7, dinner for the kids at 6:30, so invite a friend or two to that. The adults are starting a new study on the book of Romans, so don't miss out on that. And then we want to thank everybody that showed up to help with the Feed My Starving Children. We had fun, and the time went by fast, and I thought about putting some pictures up, but I don't think you guys want to see me in a hairnet. So everyone had to wear hairnets, and we weren't looking great, but we had fun, and it was for a good cause. So thank you, everybody, for coming to help with that. Men's breakfast is this Saturday at 9 a.m. at the Country Kettle. All men are always welcome. And we're still planning our trunk or treat on the 31st of October, just trying to have an alternative for the kids with a positive influence. So if anybody can donate some bags of candy to that, I think we're going to go through a lot of it. So we'd really appreciate it. You could give it to me or Kira or Logan. And then also consider bringing your car up to the church and decorating your trunks. Sorry, we have a lot of announcements today. And then Mike added a few extra on the bottom for me. So you will receive a text, email, or phone call today that will enroll you in our new phone tree. Please take time to listen and respond accordingly. This will allow us to reach everyone at the same time, just like the old phone tree. So I'm really excited about that. If you do not receive any of the above, please reach out to Pastor Justin and let him know, because we want to make sure everybody is getting information that they need. Next Sunday is the Beulah Fire Pancake Feed from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Civic Center. So go support our local firefighters. And we went last year, and it was really yummy. So go to that. And then today, they're doing a Fleischkekla fundraiser for Beulah FFA, also at the Civic Center from 10 to 2. So lots of opportunities to help our community, and have an easy lunch.
Dear Jesus, our Savior and our Father God, Lord, we just ask for your presence here today, Lord. We just want you to fill our hearts and our minds and our bodies with your Spirit and with your grace that you give us each and every day. Lord, I pray that we come to you today with open hearts and open minds, and let's put our hands high and just to give you all the thanks and praise and worship you like you deserve to be worshiped today, Lord Jesus. Let us pour out all that we have and be thankful from the blessings that you give us each and every day, the little things in life that we don't always see that are so obvious to us that you are doing and working in our lives. Lord, today let's just raise our voices and our hands to you to give you that glory and honor and praise that you so desperately deserve from us. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
It's good to see some new faces here today, and so I welcome you if you're a visitor. We do have visitor cards out front if you want to fill one out and turn that in. You can leave it out on front there. You can just hand it to anybody at the church, and they'll make sure that it gets where it needs to go. But We are going to continue today in our series called Delegated. It's a stewardship series, and it's a slightly different one. We've gone over how we can properly steward the Word of God. We've gone over how we can properly steward our bodies, and today we're going to look at how we can properly steward the spiritual gifts. So would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day, God, for those that are here. Father, I pray that you would be with those that are not here, God, specifically Darwin and Susie, God, Miss Norma, Father, Candace, God, as they are walking through various trials, God. And Father, I pray that we would remember them in our prayers, God, that we would seek you on their behalf, Father. God, I pray that you would anoint my mouth to bring forth your word, God, that you would open our ears, our minds, God, our hearts to receive from your word today. God, may everything that is said and done bring glory and honor to you. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So when looking at spiritual gifts, there's kind of a logical progression from looking at the Word of God and its authority for our lives, that it tells us how to live. And then we kind of move from that into our bodies. And so with our bodies, we looked at how we can do what the Word of God says, how we can honor the Lord through our daily living. And so there's kind of natural progression from that into the spiritual gifts. And we have to be open and willing to allow the Lord to use us in the spiritual gifts that he's given us. There's three main passages in the New Testament that list spiritual gifts, and we'll look at them all in order to kind of fully understand what the Bible says on spiritual gifts. So the first list is found in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. And if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. If not, it will be up on the screen. But Romans 12, beginning in verse 3. Scripture says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And so we're going to go over those gifts really quick, and then we'll go to the next ones. But the first one is prophecy. And prophecy can either mean telling in advance, or it can mean foretelling, which foretelling is telling in advance, and forthtelling is just bringing out the truth that exists in a way that people can understand it. The prophets did both. They foretold a future events that were happening, but they also called the people back to the true message of the Word of God that they had forgotten. And so prophecy can be both. It's the ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that calls people back to right relationship with God. And so prophecy is one of them. The second one that we're going to look at is ministry or service. The words can be interchanged, but this is equated to the same word as deacon. It's a serving word, and it means to identify undone tasks and work with available resources to get the job done for the overall good of the body of Christ. Teaching, most of us know what that is. That's just to instruct others in the scriptures in a logical way that leads them to a spiritual growth and maturity. It's communicating rightly what God's word has said. It's not the same as preaching, although I think a majority of preaching involves a lot of teaching. But it's that. And in order to be an elder of the church, one of the requirements is that you have to be able to teach. That's the biblical mandate. That's what kind of separates the elders from the deacons. And so it's an important thing and something that we can't overlook on that part. Exhortation simply means to come alongside somebody and offer encouragement, comfort, consolation, counsel, to help them become all that God wants them to be. And so when a word of exhortation goes forth, it sometimes it can be a little bit hard, but it's something that urges others to action. It literally means in the Greek to call one to one side. And so it's not something where you stand above and you speak to people that are lower. It's where you call people to your side, or you go to their side, and you help them walk through the daily problems of life. It's usually as strong at times because it's urging people to action. It's not a passive gift. It's not anything like that. Giving is one that we know. It's to share what material resources one has with liberality and cheerfulness, not begrudgingly, without the thought of return. Not everybody has all these gifts. And so as we go through these, think to yourself if you know what your spiritual gift is. Because Scripture is abundantly clear that every born-again person has a spiritual gift. Everyone. And so if you're not functioning in your gift or you don't know what your gift is, I should have said this at the beginning, but we developed a membership program for membership classes when we got here. And most of you were members already. But in that membership class, we have a section on spiritual gifts. And so we take a whole section, a whole night, and we walk you through that. And so if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, come talk to me about it. I may not have all the answers, but we can at least look at it together and we can begin to walk towards that, because the strongest that this church can be is when everybody is operating in their spiritual gifts. Because all the spiritual gifts are given to individuals for the edification of the body. And so just throwing that out there, if you don't know or you just need some guidance, come see Jessica and I and we'll walk you through that. Leadership is one of them that's mentioned. It means to stand before the people in such a way as to attend to the direction of the body with such care and diligence that others get motivated and involved in the accomplishment of the goals for the vision of the church. This almost always involves organizing multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish these tasks. So leading involves motivation. I'm not a motivational speaker, but I do hope I'm a motivational leader. I thought somebody would laugh at that. I don't know. Mercy. This is to be sensitive towards those who are suffering, whether physically, mentally, or emotionally, so as to feel genuine sympathy with their misery, speaking words of compassion, but more so, caring for them with deeds of love to help alleviate their distress. It means that you're empathetic, so it goes beyond sympathy. It's not just that you feel for that person, it's that you willingly enter into that person's pain. You feel it as your own without making it all about you. And I'm not going to be hard on a lot of these, but I do want to draw attention to some of these things. There is a big balance between feeling their pain while understanding that it is theirs versus taking their pain and making it your own for your attention. One is a gift, one is not. And so the gift of mercy is entering into that pain while remembering that it's still their pain. And that's a hard thing to do. There's a fine line there, and the devil would love to take a good gift and twist it ever so slightly so it becomes a not good gift. So those are the gifts listed in Romans 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have another set of gifts that are listed beginning in verse 4. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one." If you have your Bibles, underline "each one." "For the profit of all." So, nobody here can escape from the fact that if you're born again, you have a gift that you have been given for the profit of all. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So again, we're going to look at these ones. The first one is word of wisdom. This is the divine strength or ability to understand and bring clarity to situations and circumstances that you don't know anything about in a scriptural way. It's more than good advice. It's supernatural power and understanding that is practically applied. And so this would be like when somebody comes to you and they say, "Listen, I don't know what's going on," but they share scripture, they share something, and it lines up with exactly what you're going through. Okay, so that's that. Word of knowledge is very close and very similar to that. It's slightly different. It's the divine strength or ability to bring truth to a situation by supernatural revelation. I want to be clear, supernatural revelation is a thing, but it's not anything that goes beyond what God's word states. So it's not a new revelation, it's not a higher revelation. It's a revelation of truth that it supernaturally comes from God that will be according to scriptures. It's most oftentimes accompanied by a word from God, and this is where somebody has information that they could not possibly know about you, and they say something to you in a way that causes you to respond to what God is trying to do in your life. So you ever had somebody come up to you and they basically read your mail? And then you go and talk to your best friend because you wonder why in the world your best friend would tell your pastor about everything that you talked to them about. And then your pastor's like, well, they say they didn't. Your pastor doesn't know. Or somebody else. That's that word of knowledge working. And so it's when somebody knows something that they could not possibly know. That's what happened at youth camp. I've told you guys that story, but I went over to youth camp, met somebody that didn't even know my name, prayed over me, prayed things into my life that he could not have possibly known because I had not shared with anybody. Our second Sunday here at the church, somebody came up to me and spoke the exact prayers I had been praying for months before I got here that I hadn't even told Jessica about. And so it's a gift that a lot of times will move us to action, but it also confirms to us what God is doing in our life. The gift of faith is different from the faith that it takes to come to salvation. Everybody that's saved has the faith that comes to salvation. This is stronger. This is unseen supernatural power that works for unseen supernatural results in every arena of life. It's people that can walk through things and not be swayed or moved one way or the other. It's a confidence in God and His Word that no matter what, never falters. It's a strong gift, and it's one that I believe as we get closer and closer into becoming a minority as Christians in the United States, it's going to be a gift that really needs to stand up and be used if you have it. It's going to encourage others. It's going to be something that when others get discouraged, faith like this is what can keep people going. Healings is when a person is used as a means through which God makes a person whole, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. The person acts as an intermediary, so it's not them healing somebody. It's God working through them to heal. Oftentimes it's involved with the laying on of hands, which is scriptural. But doesn't always have to be that way. Working of miracles is when the Holy Spirit moves through a person to alter the natural outcomes of life in a supernatural way through prayer, faith, and divine direction. It's done in a way that only God can get credit for it. It's not done in a way that God and man can ever get credit. So that's one prophecy we've already talked about. Discerning of spirits. This seems to be everybody's favorite gift. Everybody you talk to has discernment, right? Not according to scripture. We're going to dig into it because it's a little bit different than what most people think it is. The gift to spiritually identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong motives and the spiritual forces at work in situations, to distinguish truth from error by judging whether the behavior or teaching is from God, Satan, human error, or human power. So a lot of people, of all the gifts people have told me they have, this is the one that I hear the most often. I have the gift of discernment. A couple notes on this. It's not to be confused with the spiritual gift of criticism, which is not a spiritual gift. It's a damaging thing. Discernment and criticism are two different things. Discernment is discerning what God is doing or whether what's happening is from God. Criticism is you putting your own personal preference above what God is doing. Now, all of these gifts are subject to be governed by the body of Christ, with Christ being the head. But criticism is never listed as a spiritual gift. It's not. And so the difference between that is that one comes from God and the other comes from the flesh, or the enemy is often used as a weapon. And I know that it's a very fine line to walk through, but I can tell you maybe the best way to figure it out. If you're not living according to Scripture and you're operating in the gift of spiritual discernment, it probably isn't spiritual discernment. It's probably criticism. Spiritual discernment is something that you get that most times moves you into spiritual battles that you never wanted or chose or would pick. That gift comes with a heavy price. And so discernment is a necessary gift. It's one that, especially in this day and age, with everything that's being taught and everything that's being said, it has to be used, but it has to be used correctly. Discernment is never used to tear people down. It's used to draw a line between what belongs to God and what doesn't. Prophecies listed again. We've already talked about that one. Tongues. Tongues is the ability to speak in a heavenly language or in an earthly language not known by the speaker, to share a message from the Lord. There's a differentiation between private prayer language and public exhortation in tongues, followed by an interpretation. There's times where you'll be at home in your prayer closet praying, and you'll be moved to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and that's your prayer language. There's other times where you will speak in tongues and give a message, usually loudly, in a corporate setting, which is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about your private prayer language. We're talking about what happens in a corporate setting. It's a language that you do not know, and it can be heavenly or earthly. The interpretation of tongues is the ability to hear a message in tongues and receive the interpretation in the language of the body of Christ at its local place of gathering. Two things to consider. It's for the edification of the body. Edification means to instruct and improve, especially in moral and spiritual knowledge. It means to enlighten and to inform. So instructions are meant to move people from where they are to where they need to be. So a lot of times when a message in tongues is given and then there's an interpretation, it's calling to action. Or it's revealing, like a reminder of who God is. No interpretation of tongues ever will go against Scripture. And so if somebody gets up and gives an interpretation and it completely violates Scripture, it is not from God. It's a false interpretation. The fact that there can be misuse of the gifts and that there can be false use of the gifts doesn't mean that we run away from the gifts. That's what the devil would love. He'd love for the church to be a giftless church. All it means is that we need to be people that are in the Word, that are praying, that are willing to subject ourselves to each other so that these gifts can operate the way that they're supposed to. Every person that has a gift needs to use it to edify the church. And so, before we move into the third list, ask yourself, do you have a gift? Do you know what it is? And are you operating in that gift? The third list is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So apostles, there's a differentiation between the original apostles and apostles now. Nobody alive today would carry that same unique individual ability in the sense that the original apostles had it, but the gift still applies. It's someone that is sent forth basically to new frontiers with the gospel, and it would be, like in our day and age, would be a church planner. Somebody that's going to a place where there's not an already set up church and implementing that. So it's more like a pioneering spirit. It's taking the gospel where it has not been. Church planners, missionaries, they would fall under that. Prophets, we've listed again and we've already gone over that. Evangelists are people that have the ability to help non-Christians make decisions for Christ. The necessary decisions become born again. It's literally means a messenger of the good news. In a broad sense, we are all evangelists. We are all called to share the good news. But in a more specific, narrow sense, this is somebody that is gifted with the unique ability that when they preach or they speak, that decisions for Christ are made, that God is calling people to him through them in a way that is more powerful than most normal people have it. So in that way, it's set apart as a gift. Pastors and shepherds, a lot of people put pastors, shepherds, and teachers in the same one. I don't see a need for that. I think that all pastors are in some way teachers, but not all teachers are pastors. So pastor is one who is responsible for spiritually caring for, protecting, guiding, and feeding a group of believers entrusted to one's care. The ability to care for the personal needs of others by nurturing and mending life's issues. And then teaching we've already talked about. And so you might be wondering why I've taken the time to go over a list that sounds fairly dry. It's because, church, God designed his church to work a certain way. Okay, Christ is the head of the church. Can we all agree on that? We know that the Spirit of God has given gifts to individuals. Yes? So no matter what denomination you fall in, no matter which one you came out of, Scripture clearly says that the Spirit has given a gift to each and every one. That means that there are multiple gifts in this church. Our way of properly stewarding those gifts, because we're talking about stewardship, and stewardship is literally just honoring the one that has more power than you, right? We honor him with the Word of God. We make sure that because he's given us his Word, we're not just people that know about the Word, we're people that know the Word. There's a difference. We make sure that in our bodies that we're not just people that know what we're supposed to do. We actually do what we're supposed to do. And so when it comes to the gifts, it's not enough just to know about the gifts. Your requirement, your responsibility as a believer, as somebody that is born again, as somebody that Christ died to save and has moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, is to know your gift and to use your gift. That being said, the gift is always under the direction of the Spirit of God. You cannot will your own gift to work whenever you want. The bad thing is that if we quench the Spirit of God, we will eventually grieve the Spirit of God, and both of those are bad things to do. One of the best ways that you can do that is to not be obedient when using your gift. I know that spiritual gifts are exciting to talk about in one sense, but I know that in another sense there's like this heaviness or this weight, because if you don't know what your gift is, there can be a lot of frustration there. But I promise you, if you will sit down in prayer and you will earnestly pray and you will seek scripture, that God will reveal to you what your gift is. And that's why we have a church body, because a lot of times God has gifted people to see a gift in somebody else and to help encourage that gift to be used to fruition. So that leads us to what it means to steward these gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, again, if you have your Bibles, underline that, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So as each one has received a gift, potentially, or if you want to, or if you feel like it, minister it to one another. It doesn't say that. It's a clear directive to do what God has asked us to do. We're called to steward these gifts, and these gifts are given to us by the grace of God for the building up of the church. When you operate in your gift, the church will be edified. It will become stronger. It will grow bolder. Everybody operating in their gifts will create a church that is so much stronger than when nobody operates in their gifts. And so there's a few things that we can do to make sure this happens. One is we can govern these gifts. When I say govern, I don't mean that we decide when they're going to happen and we decide how long they're going to be and we decide what's going to... I don't mean that, but I mean that we do need to be aware of the biblical parameters of the gifts with the understanding that they can be misused. So knowing what the Bible has said, knowing the limits of those gifts, and knowing how those gifts are meant to be used is our part that we can do on governing the gifts. The second part is to gather. You cannot use your spiritual gift from your couch. That's one of the best arguments that I have on why actually physically coming to church matters, because you have been given a gift that is meant for the edification of the body, not that you have been given a gift that is meant to sit at home on the couch watching online TV. How are you going to use your spiritual gift? Are you going to stand up in your living room and give a message in tongues and nobody's going to hear it to interpret it? Are you going to stand up and interpret a message in tongues that you heard on TV and nobody's going to hear the interpretation? It cuts you off immediately from being able to do what God has asked you to do. That gift of healing that most oftentimes comes with the laying on of hands, how can you lay your hands on somebody if you're not even there? Now, I know that prayer isn't separated by distance, but the gifts matter. The gifts are always given in the context of a local body gathering together. They're never given in the context of Lone Ranger Christians just doing their own thing by themselves. So everything that we've talked about, if you want to operate in your gift, you have to be in a group of believers. Your gift will not operate on its own. You have to be in a group of believers. And so in Hebrews 10:25, Scripture tells us that we need to not forsake the gathering together of ourselves, as some already do, especially as the day approaches. I'm telling you, that day is getting closer and closer and closer. And so there's a natural tendency to pull yourself out of church, to just, I'm overwhelmed, or it's just one more thing I got to do, or it's just this or that. It's not just this or that. If we weren't dealing with eternal life here, by all means, take your leave. But because we are dealing with eternal life, because we have responsibility to God and each other, it's important that you show up. It's important that you are available to be used by God, because he has gifted you specifically for the church he has placed you in. Scripture also says that God places the members individually where he wills. And I've said this before, you're not here by chance. You're not here just by whim. You're here because God has drawn you to this place. The third thing that we can do is we can glorify. We can remember that these gifts are given by God through his grace, by his Spirit, for honoring him. They're never for our personal use, our personal attention, our personal glorification. Everything that is done through a gift that God gives is meant to bring God glory through those who are God's people. So in those passages that we read above, that list of gifts, there's also some other scriptures that go further than that, and I want to revisit each one, and we're almost done. But in Romans 12, going further, starting verse 9, we read the following. Remember, we just got done talking about gifts. He says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And going further in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostle, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." And we know that in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul goes on to talk about love. Your gift cannot operate out of love. It has to have the love of God behind it. The reason that so many people have been hurt, the reason that so many people have been used and abused by the church, is because people operated in their gifts without love. And it took something good that God meant, and it turned it to hurt for those that were on the receiving end. So love underlines all of this. It's the foundation that all the gifts are built on. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says this, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." The gifts are so important, and the operation of the gifts are so important, that Paul likens it to one of the ways that the church grows in growth and maturity. So to withhold your gift, it doesn't just harm you, and it doesn't just stop God from doing what he wants to do. It actually causes the body to not grow. And I think that deep down, every one of us want to grow in maturity in Christ and to have this body grow. Amen? So our responsibility of that is to make sure that we are working in our gifts. And it would hurt as parents if, you know, Santa comes. I don't know if there's anybody in here that still believes in Santa. I don't want to ruin that for anybody. If Santa comes and he were to give gifts that were underneath your tree that you might have paid for and wrapped yourself and given, that the kids would come down from Christmas and just walk over and just look at it and just walk away. That would probably hurt, right? As a parent, you would have your feelings hurt because you know what the gifts are. You wanted to get, you know, gifts that your children love, and so you buy these gifts, you have these gifts, you give these gifts, and then they sit unopened. That would probably break your heart as a parent, right? It's not much different than the fact that God has given us each gifts, and a lot of us haven't even opened those gifts. We never even tried. Maybe you're here today, and for the first time you're told you have a gift. It's not just meant to take and hold. We had foster children one time that we had a birthday party for them. They were pretty close in age, and we did their birthday party together. I'll never forget it. We were sitting at the dinner table, and Jessica brings out these gifts that are wrapped in this beautiful silver paper, and their eyes light up, and they start crying, like, it's so pretty. And they just left them. They didn't know that they were supposed to open them. They had never opened a gift. They thought they got a shiny wrapped box, and that was their gift. And it blew me away that, one, that part did, but then when they found out they could open it, they were blown away that there was something inside that was even better than the wrapping on the outside. So open your gift. Don't just let it sit there on the table. Going a little bit further, it would hurt our heart as parents if our children open our gifts and use them to hurt each other, especially if they're not meant for that, right? That would hurt my heart as a parent. So as we look at this, we need to understand that God has gifted the church with gifts. It's an honor to be a Christian. Let's never forget that. It's an honor to be a Christian. It is a privilege to wear the fact that we have been born again. With it comes a responsibility. We're talking about stewardship. It's a responsibility in a lot of different areas of our life. The spiritual gifts matter. They matter for you. They matter for me. They matter for us. God has gifted each one with a gift to be used according to Scripture for the building and the growth and the maturity and the edification of the church. We need to get busy using our gifts. We can honor the Lord by being good stewards of the manifold grace of God and by making sure that we are being everything He has called us to be. There is no greater fight you can fight in your Christian life today than to simply be all that God is asking you to be, which involves knowing the Word of God, laying down your life, which we talked about last week, dying at the cross, becoming alive in Christ, empowered by the Spirit, and moving in your gifts. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this stewardship series, God. And I know it's not the most fun to be reminded of our responsibility that we have, Father, that, God, for many here, just making it through a day is about all they can handle. But, Father, you have called us to more than just barely surviving. You have called us to live in accordance with your word. God, a huge part of why we gather together is to praise you, to worship you, to honor you. And God, one of the ways that we can honor you according to Scripture is to use our gifts, to operate in the gifts that you have given us. So Holy Spirit, I pray for anybody here that does not know their gift, that God, as they seek you, God, as they seek in Scripture about the gifts, that you would reveal to them what their gift is. Father, I pray that as a body, we would walk beside each other, encouraging each other, God, to operate in our gifts. And I pray not to make a name for Prairie View, God, not to make a name for ourselves, but that, God, we would be a church where the gifts operate fully and completely, where each and every person operates in their gifts, God, where, Father, we can take the step necessary to grow in maturity and to grow as a body by using the gifts that you have given us. Lead us, guide us, show us how to do that, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.